The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views of the show's host and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the management, owners, or staff of this radio station. And now, it came from the radio.
Yappa Toy, and welcome once again to It Came From The Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Gone. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking in the new year, 2026, with our same old show, and Mr. Son Goblin is on the phone.
Wow, that's a...
I was going to say something else, but I forgot. I was like, I should say something witty, and I was like, I got nothing.
Happy New Year,
yes,
Mark,
yes.
And everybody else.
Yes, same to you and everybody else listening to us live. on this week's show, live in the studio, Hassan and I give our best and worst of 2025, which was last year. Plus, we, Hassan and I, also give our dishonorable mentions of 2025. But before we do any of that, we have to take it away with the non-news.
It's more Hassan!
The non-news is brought to you in part by the fine folks at sci-fi.radio. That is sci-fi
for your Wi-Fi.
As well as the fine folks at the Big Apple Con, which we are the official radio show of, celebrating over 26, 7, 8, 9 years of comic bookness and pop culture stuff. For more information, go to www.bigapplecc.com. There's a little button on there that takes you right to their ticket sites, which are not on sale yet, but the next convention is November the 21st of this year. So you got to wait a couple more months before they announce their headliners, and tickets will be on sale. Also want to give out shout-outs to our Patreons, of which they are Danny Grillo, award-winning director Jared Burrell, News, Day Famous Dresden Media, Shadow Rabbit Art, Yasin Ray, The Hurricane, and Millie Portes. If you want to have your own little shout-out, go to our website, www.itcamefromtheradio.com. A little button on there takes you right to our Patreon page. Also, on the It Came From The Radio website is my book, Designated, a book about two warring alien races fighting over a newly discovered power source. War finds its way to planet Earth, and as a result, some humans gain abilities. Issue 1 is on sale right now, and issue 2 will be in pre-orders in probably a month and a half, maybe 2 months. So make sure you get your copy today. Also, almost forgot, on Wednesday, January 14th at the East Metal Public Library, we're going to have our 100th live show. And we're going to have special comic book creator Mike Kingston, who's going to be there, and he'll be raffling off a copy of his book. Plus, we're giving away 2 free passes to the Long Island Convention of Horror.
Woohoo!
And Hassan will be there also. So if you want to see what Hassan looks like and meet him in person, come down to the live show.
Hey, don't give away my location.
Whoa.
So that's it for the non-news. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more It Came From The Radio.
Hi, you've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com.
Looking to upgrade your outdoor space? Rare Products NY has you covered. Our universal pergolas are modern, durable aluminum structures designed to withstand the elements while adding style and value. Enjoy all weather protection with adjustable louvers and glass options. Stay cozy in the winter with modernized screens and enclosures. Create a luxury ambiance with built-in LED lighting. And give your home or business a modern look that keeps guests coming back. For your on-site evaluation, call 516-225-8271. Email rareproductsny@gmail.com or visit rareproductsny.com. Rare Products NY. We've got you covered.
Hi, this is Sherilyn Fenn, and you're listening to It Came From The Radio.
My neural net processor is linked to sci-fi.radio, the sci-fi for my Wi-Fi. The more I listen, the more I learn.
Hey kids, this is CJ Ramon of the world famous Ramones, and you're listening to It Came From The Radio.
Step into the fantastic world of cool kids comics and toys at 2055 Hempstead Turnpike, East Meadow, New York. discover Comic-Con exclusives, the latest Funko Pops, and a treasure trove of new and vintage toys and comics. Whether you're a collector or a first-time visitor, we got something to spark your imagination over here. Visit Cool Kids Comics and Toys today. Let your adventure begin, huh?
Hey, this is Tiffany Shepis, Dr. Oak from Star Trek Picard, and you are listening to It Came From the Radio.
Hey, this is Billy West from Show Business. You're listening to It Came From the Radio. Get out. Get out.
Comic Books for Kids is the largest charity in the U.S. for comic books, toys, and pop culture items to children in hospitals and cancer centers. Donations of toys, books, action figures, Funko Pops, or anything pop culture related can be made to this organization. Find them at cb4k.org.
This is Michael Bell, the voice of Duke from G.I. Joe, and I am here at CradleCom, and I am with It Came From the Radio.
BKG Productions, LLC, your ultimate audio transformation partner. Got audio that needs a magic touch? I am here to elevate your content, specializing in professional audio editing. I can clean up background noise, plosives, and pesky S sounds. From podcasts to songs, I've got you covered. Whether it's an interview, music track, setting volumes to precise specs, email bkgvobiz@gmail.com or go to fiverr.com, search for BK Graves 1, and trust me to make your sound sparkle.
Sword of Omens, come to my hand. I, Lion-O, command it. Hi, everybody. This is Larry Kenny, the voice of Lion-O on Thundercats. And you're listening to It Came From the Radio.
Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to It Came From the Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. I am here live in the studio with Mr. Hassan Godwin on the phone.
Yay!
That
New year.
Is the same amount of enthusiasm you had for last year.
New Year's is terrible because here's why, and I'll be really quick. You spent all the last year building up to Christmas and then New Year's, right? That's last, like, two big events, that last 1 week. And then, you've gotten there, you get days off from work, and everybody's cheerful, and you get to go see old friends and family and this and that and have dinners and stuff. And then, boop, some ball drops, and then it's like the whole thing resets, and you got to do it all over again.
This is
and
true.
So now we're in the new year, and we're just at the beginning.
Well,
and it's going to be like, I'm tired. I don't have the energy to do that all over again.
Well, technically, we're in the beginning, but we still have to wrap up last year, which is why this week,
yes.
As I mentioned, we're going to talk about our best of and worst of show and or movie and or TV and or entertainment of 2025. So we have one of each.
What an excellent segue. I miss the old segues.
Mr. Segway, right? You remember Mr. Segway?
Yes. I miss Mr. Segway.
So how do you want to do this? Do you want to do best and worst, or best and worst? You go first, I go second. What do you want to do? How would you like to do this, Hassan?
Let's do worst. Worst first.
All right. So would you like to go first or would I like to go first?
No, you can go first.
Okay.
Please.
So as always, the rules are very simple. It's something that had to have come out in 2025 and it's something that we had to have seen in 2025. Those are the two simple rules of anything. So something might be better or worse that we may not have seen or didn't come out in 2025.
Nice.
So I've talked about a whole bunch of honorable mentions in previous episodes, or maybe stuff that hasn't aired yet. I'm not sure how this works. But
I don't think it aired yet.
The worst, worst thing I've seen this year. And it was really hard because the couple of things that I saw was pretty bad. But it was a movie called Shiver Me Timbers, which, as I have my little notes here, was one of three Popeye movies that they made. And it says, Popeye amateur / student film with sort of a budget. that's my note. So, as people
wait, the descriptor, the log line that's supposed to get you to watch it is warning you that it's got sort of a budget?
No, that's my notes that I wrote.
Oh, okay.
For the movie. I have a note here.
That's close.
I keep notes. I write,
right.
As I watch stuff, I write it down, and then I forget about it.
You're very dedicated. You're very dedicated.
As we mentioned before, well, last year, Popeye became public domain, so people immediately decided to make horror movies based on Popeye, and it was three of them, and I sat through all three of them. One was but the other two were and this one was the worst.
Whoa.
I'm like, I've seen independent films, and I know how hard it is to make an independent film, but sometimes you gotta try a little harder. Like, it was just like, it felt like they had a $2 budget. It was really, really bad. The acting was terrible. The murders weren't even, you know, entertaining at all. It was just like...
The murders weren't entertaining. Please don't say that out loud on board.
if you get a horror movie where the thing is, you know, how the kills are, at the very least, you can try to make it creative or entertaining. But this is just like, nope, we're not even going to try. We're just going to try to get people to watch your movie. And I got suckered into it because it's a Popeye movie. And I had to see... I already saw the other two, so I had to see the third one. So that was it. Shiver me timbers. Worst movie thing I've seen.
Shiver me timbers.
Yes.
Okay.
What do you got,
Hassan?
Let me ruin you. Yes.
Let me ruin it. How does it rate on the worst things you've ever seen, period? Is it way down on the list?
Or I would say bottom 100.
Is it near the top 10?
It was bottom 100.
Okay, all right.
I've seen a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. So, you know, I've seen worse.
So it's awful, but it's not god awful.
Right.
I understand.
But it's just, bad. Okay. The worst 2025. So it's a whole year of stuff I've seen. So, yeah.
Right.
So what?
Understood. A whole 365 days worth of viewing, and this one popped up as just the worst waste of your time you can imagine.
Exactly. Yeah. So what do you got, Hassan? What is your worst movie and or TV show and or book and or entertainment that you've seen this year?
I had two, and it was a fight between the two of them.
Really? Okay.
One is basically a kind of a spiritual bad time or a contextual bad time. It wasn't really a bad movie.
Okay.
But I decided that that's the worst one. The other one was really, well, I just didn't enjoy it. But the one that was the worst one contextually was Tron Ares. It was not good. And now it's not a bad movie, but considering Tron and Tron Legacy, and that it took 10 years to get the sequel, and the sequel was at what it was, which was just a really lame studio attempt to keep the franchise alive and well without actually giving fans the continuance of the last movie, which I grant you didn't blow the box office lid off. So of course that's why they delayed making these movies in the first place. But if you're going to get back into it and you're going to want to grab as many devotees as possible to kind of stack your numbers, you should at the very least make an attempt to continue the story instead of just kind of this other thing that might really be cool but probably won't in this really niche thing that has never made money, that has never been... The only thing that Tron has ever accomplished is that both those movies were genuinely innovative and visually stunning. And Tron Ares decides, well, what if we're not visually stunning or innovative at all? what if we do that? And that's what it did. And it was just, to me, even though I had no expectations when I went into it because I didn't think it was going to be great,
right?
Because I knew the story behind it, it exceeded my negative expectations. it just was blah. It just wasn't, it wasn't anything interesting. And it can't, it, you, when you're trying to be a Tron movie, you can't really, you have two routes to go. You can either become completely generic, or you could do something outrageously innovative, which the last two did. And that's why they're still part of the zeitgeist and part of the history. And this one was just not good on those levels. So, and then, you know, Jared Leto. So
it's interesting, because in your description of this, it reminds me of, I've mentioned many times, Norm Macdonald, the late, great Norm Macdonald, one of my favorite comedians. And he was on a show. It's the clip is like a very famous clip of him and Courtney Thorne Smith on Conan O'Brien's show, where Courtney Thorne Smith was trying to promote her new Carrot Top movie. And Conan was like, hey, so, you know, it's a Carrot Top movie since he's a prop comic. There's going to be lots of props and stuff and everything. And Courtney Thorne Smith goes, no, they're not going to have any prop comics. And Norm Macdonald, sitting in the chair next to Courtney Thorne Smith, turns to her and says, wait a minute, you're going to make a movie about a prop comic without any props.
What?
So, like, the absurdity of the one thing that's what it's about, you're going to take that away.
The one thing you got going for you, you drop the one thing you got going for you, and then you warned us that the one thing that this guy has going for himself and his career is not in his latest movie.
Right.
That you still want everybody to go see.
So, pretty much. So taking everything away from Tron that made Tron Tron, and you're going to make a movie still. That's what
yes.
I got from what you
and
said.
Here's the, and your last thing, to the point of your last thing, Tron's not in the movie. For anybody who doesn't know Tron, Tron is not just the name of a town or the grid or whatever. Tron's actually a character
from the
original Tron, and who was also very cleverly inserted in Tron Legacy, even though it was 30 years later.
Right, yes, I remember. Yes.
And Tron Ares is like, we're just going to use the word Tron, but we're not going to have a Tron.
Hey,
how you like that? So, no.
All right, so now.
And I'll get off the soapbox now.
Well, now for the best. The best of. Would you like to go first for the best of?
No. Keep
right.
it going. You go.
So, on the horror theme, because that worst was the Popeye movie, on the horror theme, the best thing I saw this year was Final Destination Bloodlines. My notes say it was a surprise hit. They went all out with the deaths. They didn't ignore or harm the movies that came before it, and it created a new storyline. That was what I wrote down. I remember going into it, I was like,
nice.
I think Final Destination already ran its course. They had the nice little loop to it. The last one, you know, had a little bow on it. I thought it was awesome, and it was really the surprise ending of the final movie. So I'm like, oh, they're gonna make another one. I don't know about this. And I go in there, and they just go all crazy. And I'm like, holy crap, this was really entertaining. And hilariously, like, the way that they, as I said, the kills were crazy. It was so over the top and ingenious, but somehow grounded by everybody's reactions to the way what was happening around them. And then they had a whole new storyline, and it didn't affect the old storyline. It didn't demean it. It just, that happened over there, now this is happening over here. So I really enjoyed it. That's why I liked this
wow.
one as my
wow.
favorite thing that I saw. 2025 was Final Destination Bloodlines, and also a little tip of the hat to the final appearance of Tony Todd, and listening to the behind the scenes of that movie, they all knew that Tony Todd was in poor health, and they knew that it was his final scene in the movie, and they told him, say whatever you want to the fans. So when he's talking to the characters in the movie, he's actually talking to the audience, and he has a nice little monologue, and that was all him. It wasn't scripted or anything, so that even me, like, oh, you know, little gut punch to you to that as well.
That was like the Gil Gerard gut punch,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes. So what do you got? What's the best thing you've seen? Well, did you see Final Destination or no?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I did not.
So what do you got for
best? I felt the same way you did about it before you walked into it. But, I mean, your description reminds me of the X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yes.
And I literally remember someone writing, does anybody even care that this movie is coming out? And I read it on Facebook as I was going to see the movie.
Yes.
And I didn't even reply, I do. Because I'm like, yeah, no, I hear you. And then I went to see it, and I'm like, wow, this is actually not bad. And then they ruined it with the very next movie. But
so your best. What do you got? The best of
my best
Hassan
of,
Godwin's
my best
of. Wait. Do we have a drum roll?
Oh.
There we go. Hassan Godwin's best of 2025 is now you're supposed to say it.
Well, I'm waiting for the drum roll.
You don't hear it?
I hear it.
Okay, so now is your chance to say it.
I just said it. I said Sinners.
Oh, Sinners. We completely missed it.
Yeah.
I guess the drummer was drumming too loud. The drummer was drumming too loud. That's the problem.
Yeah. What are you guys doing? I already said it.
All right, so Sinners, why?
I was actually waiting because you're supposed to wait for the cymbal crash. Well, you can answer it.
We didn't have that one ready.
Yeah, I know.
I guess the rim shot was for the joke that we usually have, right? We have that one, the rim shot?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Just a symbol.
Wow.
So Sinners.
Okay.
Why? Why was Sinners the best thing you've seen this year?
I thought Sinners was just a fantastic movie, completely unexpected. I was interested in it because it was Ryan Coogler, and it was about vampires, and we haven't had a vampire movie in a long time. So I was like, I'm going to go. I enjoyed both the Black Panthers, and I enjoyed Creed, and, you know, so I'm like, okay, this is, you know, at the very least, this will be interesting. And I just enjoyed the heck out of it. I enjoyed everything about it. I enjoyed the film. I enjoyed the actors. I enjoyed the story. I enjoyed the music. It was just great. It was very innovative. And then afterwards, I enjoyed everybody else's enjoyment of it. Like, everybody kind of discovered it together, and it became its own kind of phenomenon, and it kept going away and coming back and going away and coming back. So it was a toss up between this movie and another movie, which if we could do the runners up, and the other movie is very controversial. So this one is certainly a movie that's 2025 that I saw. It was my best cinematic experience of 2025. And, you know, it was like a no-brainer for me. It's really easily the best movie, the best time I had in the movie theaters in 2025.
I did see Sinners. It's a weird thing about how I watched Sinners, which I thought, which reminded me of From Dusk Till Dawn. And I want to mention that Sinners ended up the year at the 7th highest grossing film of the year. And what made it interesting about the post-Sinners is that it kind of just quietly just made its money. They tried to stir up some controversy. None of it stuck. And it just made its money.
Yeah.
And then it was at 5 for the longest time. And then, like, the two big movies came out at the end of the year and just knocked it down for 2. But still, it was just sitting pretty.
Yeah.
Number 5, it was just there. And it was good. And when, as you may know, I rarely watch trailers of movies I plan to see. And sometimes I'll hear about a movie, like, I don't want to see it. And Sinners was just one of those things. Like, I didn't want to see it. I didn't know what it was about enough. I didn't know there was vampires in it. But, you know, you try to avoid spoilers and whatever. And I just heard people talking about it. Like, the buildup was there. And then you see, like, a picture of somebody covered in blood. And then you see this. I'm like, oh, I think this might be something I'm interested in. And so I go in there and I watch it. And I was like, oh, this is a good movie. Like, hey, there's vampires in it. And it reminded me of From Dusk Till Dawn because, once again, I didn't know there were vampires in From Dusk Till Dawn. So I'm watching this movie, and then they do all this stuff, and then, holy crap, there's vampires. So to me, it was just like they were very similar in that sense that it was two completely different movies, and all of a sudden vampires show up, and it just turns it around. But for some reason, it was believable that the vampires were there, and it showed up, and the way it happened. And then I watched the movie again, and you see little things that they put into the movie, like the actor, Michael B. Jordan. He actually said that he wore his shoes on backwards for one of the other characters because he plays twins. So that way he'll step a little bit differently. And I was like, that's some committed acting. Like, they really put a lot into this movie, and it made me appreciate it more because of all the little things that they put into the movie.
Yeah, you literally forget that's one actor playing two people, and that's incredible when they can do that, you know? I remember that from the Social Network, where Armie Hammer played two characters, and I had no idea who Armie Hammer was, so I didn't know, you know, but when I found out that was one guy doing two, you know, playing twins, I was like, oh, that's a strange detail that they went way out of their way to make it happen.
Right.
But that actually worked so well that I didn't even notice all the effort that they made to do it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Sinners was pretty amazing. And I mean, I hold that up as the best movie I saw. I think it's the best movie I've seen in 2024 and 25.
But
just out of the last 2 years, but it was definitely best of 2025.
All right, so to summarize for Hassan Godwin, his best is Sinners of 2025, and his worst was Tron Ares. For myself,
yep.
The best was Final Destination Bloodlines, which I think is the sixth one, maybe fifth one. I don't know. I've lost count. And the worst was the Popeye movie Shiver Me Timbers. So we're almost out of time.
Yep.
Hassan.
And both our movies are horror movies for this year, so it's pretty strange.
So we're almost out of time. Hassan, do you have any final thoughts?
My final thought is keep going to the movies. You know, like if you have to narrow it down and it's not and the movies are not your priority, yes, definitely keep it as a spectacle. Go, but I mean, don't let movies die, because that's still an opportunity for a wonderful experience.
All right, so my final thought is this. If you guys listening to us agree or disagree, reach out to us. You can email me. I'll maybe if you have a good comment, I'll put it on the air. It's MFC, Michael Frank Charlie, MFC _ studios at hotmail.com. So that is it for the segment. Everybody listening to us on the air, we'll see you next week. For everybody else, stay tuned for more. It Came From the Radio.
Hey, this is Billy West from Show Business. You're listening to It Came From the Radio. Get out.
Hey, It Came From the Radio fans. It's Chris Woolsey, the king of streaming, back with another segment of Chris's picks for what is hot on Angel Streaming this month. Now, you know that it's Angel's mission to bring you and your family every month movies and TV shows that amplify light. And we do that in a number of ways. One of them, obviously, is through the Angel Streaming experience. But one of the others is we bring movies to theaters around the country every month. And this month we have a couple of amazing examples. We have a great musical, animated, biblical epic, David, which of course tells the story of the little shepherd boy who grows to become the greatest king in the history of Israel. It is a beautiful animated film. Christian singer Phil Wickham voices David. We also have Brandon Engman. We have Brian Stavale as the Prophet Samuel. It is spectacular. Reviews have been through the roof. You must take your family to go see David in theaters this month. We also have a wonderful drama. This is I Was a Stranger, which is premiering January 9th. This is the freshman effort from writer-director Brant Anderson, and it is a beautiful film. I saw it myself last week. It is amazing. It's about five individuals who find their lives intertwined, set in front of the backdrop of the Syrian Civil War. It is a brilliant film with themes of geopolitics, immigration, refugees. It's just really, really well done. You have to go see I Was a Stranger. It's fantastic. Now, with sports seasons ramping up, we've got the big game coming here in just a few weeks. We have a bunch of sports movies on Angel Streaming. So probably my favorite, I'm a big baseball fan. I love Dennis Quaid, and so to have both of them in one film is a real treat. That's The Hill. This is the true story of Ricky Hill, who was the son of a traveling pastor who overcame debilitating physical disabilities in order to achieve his dream of playing baseball in the major leagues. It's a fantastic film, really inspiring. Check this one out. I also love Little Angels, which is a Dean Cain comedy where he stars as a hotshot, narrow-minded college football coach who's suspended for making disparaging comments about female athletes and is forced to do community service while coaching a girls' youth soccer team and teaching them the true meaning of success. Really funny, very good stuff. My favorite family-friendly hit this month is Sketch. This is the Tony Hale comedy that is a beautiful story about a family healing from pain, but it's set in a story where the young girl in the family, her sketchbook, through mysterious circumstances, comes to life, and all of the creatures that she has been drawing in this sketchbook come to life, and the family has to unite in order to stop these creatures from destroying the world. Really fun stuff. Tony Hale is hilarious as always. And then I also love dogs, as you well know. And we have a great dog comedy this month, and that is the hilariously heartwarming tale Runt, which is about a young girl who trains a scruffy mutt to compete in the agility course world championship in London in order to save the family farm. It is so sweet, it'll make your teeth hurt. This is an Australian comedy. I love Australian comedies, and this is a great example of the genre. Runt, you must check it out. Your family's going to love it. And then finally, we have Truth and Treason, the series. Now, you might have seen the feature, but they shot so much footage for this film that they were actually able to re-edit the feature into a four-part limited series. So if you watched the movie about Helmut Huber, the heroic 16-year-old in Germany who stood up against the Nazi party and became part of the resistance, if you liked the feature, you're going to love the limited series because there is so much more to the story that you're going to get to learn. So again, check out the Angel streaming app on your connected TV. You can go to your mobile app store, download the mobile app for your tablet or phone, or you can go to angel.com and you can sign up to become a guild member and you can watch until your heart's content. Again, this has been Chris's Picks. Have a fantastic month. Bye-bye.
And welcome back to It Came From The Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. I am here virtually distance, of course, with Mr. Hassan Galwin on the virtual phone.
Yes, I am virtually here, virtually on the virtual phone.
So as I mentioned earlier, we're going to be doing our honorable mentions of our worst stuff we've seen.
This is not this dishonorable.
Year.
These are dishonorable.
Yes, the dishonorable, the honorable mention of our worst. Honorable mention of our worst. I just said that.
Come on. Call it a dishonorable. Let's
dishonorable,
you know,
mentions.
Cast
of
aspersions.
2025. The rules are as follows. It has to be something that came out in 2025, and it had to be something that we've seen in 2025.
Those are stiff rules. Those are really...
it's not the worst thing we've seen so far, because that would be for a different part of the show, but this will be the honorable mention, which is almost as bad, but for some reason it had just a glint that made it not be the worst possible thing we've seen this year. So, there we go.
Gotcha.
My list is short. I only have two items on this list. And I've seen a lot of stuff. So last year, I had seen more bad things than I've seen good things. So this year, I'm surprised, because I write the list as we go along, and I'm surprised that I only have two honorable mention of bad things that I've seen. Do you have a massive list, or you just have one or two items of your
list? It's not massive, but I think it's more than two, but it's not massive. It's not a massive list.
All right, so I guess, Hassan, you can go first. What is the worst dishonorable mention of 2025 of something you've seen this year?
28 years later.
Ooh, another surprising one.
I don't know why this movie happened.
Well, you
don't
know why it happened, because somebody said,
I don't know why it happened
money.
To me. I don't know why it happened to me, and it didn't. So there you go.
They were wrong.
Yes. It's considering the groundbreakingness of 28 Days Later,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And the fact that even though they were pushing it with 28 Weeks Later, it still managed to be like a pretty decent quote unquote zombie movie, even though they're not zombies, they're infected in them.
Right.
And it did start the genre of running zombies. Because if you recall, the Cesar Romero.
No, wasn't
Cesar
it
Romero.
Zack
the
Snyder?
George Romero.
Wasn't
huh?
it Zack Snyder had the running zombies?
That was before. Zack Snyder's running zombies were after
28
Days Later. Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
If you recall, the George Romero zombies were easy to get away from. The problem with what was always the problem with that is because they were so slow, you got complacent. And by the time you looked up, you were surrounded by freaking zombies. No matter how slow they are, they would get you with numbers.
Like
and
the Walking
that
Dead.
Was, yeah, that was, in and of itself, that was creepy, right? But, you know, the 28 Days Later and subsequently Zack Snyder upped the ante by having these bad boys be able to just run after you. And now you, like, in zombie land, you have to limber up and you got to do cardio and stuff like that to get away from them. So that was no good. But 28 years later, I don't know if I can't really pad the account by saying that I had high hopes and they let me down, because I was like, all right, I'm kind of curious. Let's go see it. And it just wasn't, I mean, it just wasn't what it was. It was exactly what I thought it would probably be. It's like you're extending it too far. You've taken too long to tell this story. You're trying to turn a zombie experience into like a big world building kind of situation, and say that zombies people have superpowers and stuff like that. It's just it was too much.
No, so I have not seen this movie. I want to see it, but my question, which prevented me from seeing it, because I was like, I'll get around to it later, is it actually connected to the other two movies?
It is.
Okay, so...
It's the same world.
Okay.
It doesn't start it all over again, but...
Do they mention the other stuff?
There's not much they can mention, because it's a lot to survive for 30 years in the zombie apocalypse. So anybody that they would kind of talk about would be dead, and any survivor wouldn't know people who initially survive the first... I mean, it would just be a little too far-fetched. None of the characters from the previous two movies that I know of are in this third movie, but it is the same world.
Okay. So I guess my reasoning for not watching it yet is probably that's why. Because I'm like, I want to see something. If I'm going to see a part three, I want to see the connection. So
it's not technically a part three. It's just a continuation of the genre, of the world that they built with the first one.
All right, fine. So my honorable dismention, and I only have two, so I'm going to go with this one first. It's an independent film, and what I like to do, I like to write down notes on my little notepad here as I'm watching the movie, as we go along. So this is what I wrote at the time I watched it back then. It says, City of Demons, quote, Hollywood retailers Danny and Reese close the biggest deal of their lives and throw a party, but the previous owners still occupy a tunnel system beneath the house and are having a party of their own. The bad news, the hosts are vampires, unquote. It says, no actual story. It says, Eric Roberts is wasted, and in quotes it says, that says a lot. And then it says, felt like an anthology, but it really wasn't. And then it says, barely a movie.
Wow. And then on top of all that, it still exceeded your low expectations, right? It still didn't meet with your absolutely bottomed out expectations.
I saw something worse than that, yes. I saw something worse than an Eric Roberts movie, who's wasted with no story.
Oh my God.
Barely a movie.
Okay.
That movie was bad. Like, not when reading this, I'm like, hey, I remember how bad this was. I think I saw this like 6-7 months ago.
What could you have possibly expected from not only, what is it called, City of Demons?
City of Demons.
And there's not even demons, they're vampires, unless they're, okay, so
well,
never mind.
I wouldn't even think that they were like vampires. I don't know what they were. I was just reading what I wrote, and it's a
the guy. There were dudes with fangs, and they bite people. Right? That was the extent of it.
I don't even think they bit anybody. They weren't just kind of like monsters down there. It was kind of like the Munsters type of deal. Like they were it was really bad. It was a really low budget film. Because I think they spent all their money on Eric Roberts.
I guess so. I hope so.
I think they spent all their money on Eric Roberts. which once again says a lot. And he's like, nah, I'm going to phone it in today and every day. And it felt like it was two different stories that was happening. And then how it ended, I'm like, what happened? I was like, I don't understand what happened.
But what happened?
And then the credits rolled, and that was it. That was the end of the movie. So that was
my God.
On my list. How all bad right. That was.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
What else you got?
Thunderbirds. I mean, Thunderbolts. Excuse me.
Thunderbolts. Okay.
Marvel's Thunderbolts.
Yes.
Which ended with a hug.
Yes, it did.
This was the movie that kind of had me scared. Like, wow, this genre is really coming apart. It's not a bad movie. It's just there's nothing special about it, in my opinion. There's nothing great about the characters are solid, but there's nothing great about them coming together. There's nothing substantial about them coming together. There's nothing great about the villain or the villains.
Did you not think that at least the chemistry of the cast was pretty good?
I thought the chemistry was good, and I thought if they kept it the way it was, I thought it'd be okay. Here's another superhero team. But they tried to make them the new Avengers, and I know it's a gimmick because they're still the regular Avengers. But it started like, what's with all this gimmickry, you know? And also, it ends with a hug. I'm sorry. Like, it's like, it didn't have to happen this way, right? I remember a long time ago with The Force Awakens, and we were talking about, like, how the heck is... are Finn and Rey able to beat Kylo Ren, who is like a full-fledged, maybe not a Sith Lord because of whatever, but he's definitely more full-fledged of whatever he is than the two of them are, right?
Right, yes.
And so everyone was like, well, he got shot with Chewie's bowcaster, and you can see that totally destroyed stormtroopers, and so he took a shot, and he was still able to move around. So, and that was the explanation for why he was able to get beat, right? And it's like, yeah, but that... All of this was the choice of the writers, right? It doesn't have to happen this way.
Right.
And I reject the explanation that they gave me. It's not that they didn't give me an explanation. I rejected it. Like, I'm like, this didn't have, first of all, if you show someone getting shot with a gun and they fly 6 feet and he gets shot in the hip and he just falls down on one knee, we're already talking about continuity issues, right?
Yeah.
And secondly, you want this guy to fight these two heroes and lose. Come up with a better way to tell me that, you know? That explanation just didn't work for me. So when it comes to Thunderbolts, it's like you guys chose this. You chose this to be the villain. You chose this to be the conflict. You chose this to be the resolution. And I reject the resolution. I reject the situation. And I reject the resolution. I just didn't enjoy it. I didn't buy it.
So
there it is with that one.
With that movie,
mm-hmm.
I was like, going in. And I was like, going through. Like, all right, they have it's a fun little chemistry movie. That I was like, I was able to buy in with the chemistry of the cast. I was like, all right, these guys are obviously enjoying this movie and they're happy getting paid or whatever. And then,
happy getting paid, yes.
But the problem, as critical thinking Mark always happens to jump in.
Critical thinking Mark.
At the end, there's one, so this is going to take me on a little tangent since we have time. For there was a Fast and Furious movie when they were in Manhattan, right? And the bad guy took over all the automated cars or the computer cars with like a remote control or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the cars are driving up and down the city and they're all chasing whatever nonsense. And then like in some parts, there's like a close-up of a scene where they're talking and it's still in Manhattan. And I'm watching this movie and I'm watching the background and the people who made the movie forgot that it was a background of New York and nothing was just going on. It was just a regular day in New York. So, and I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, what about the traffic? That doesn't make any sense. So this movie, when they crash into, spoilers, the headquarters, and they mm-hmm. leave, in the background, everybody's just walking around like it's New York. And again, there's a giant explosion in this building over here where there's a car just ran into it. And I'm going to go to lunch. Like, what's happening? And that really bothered me. So right then, I'm like, oh, this is really bad. When they're leaving, and then they have the climactic scene, and then when everything gets resolved, at the very end of the movie, well, near the end, when everybody comes back, once again, spoilers, the... Seinfeld, what the hell's the name? Julie Louis-Dreyfus runs behind the curtain, right?
Yes.
And then
this is gonna be funny. Go ahead.
They're like, let's go get her behind the curtain. She goes behind the curtain, and all of a sudden,
it's a press conference.
And I'm like, that was the only part
of the. See, that's ironically, it's the only part of the end that I liked. I'm like, okay, I did not see that coming. That was like, and I liked that they had all resolved after hugging it out that they were gonna kill Valentina.
But the
you know,
fact...
like after you have a movie, after you have an ending where you hug it out with the Superman big bad, right?
Yeah.
And bring him off his haunches, you actually decide to kill a woman who is a middle-aged normal woman, like non-superpowered woman, the bunch of you, you're going to team up and murder her.
Because they're a team.
Yes, and then they're going to follow her through a curtain, and then it turns into a press conference. And but, I thought that was very on brand for the villain, for Valentina.
How did she have time to make the press conference?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. That's kind of some of the stuff I'm saying. Like, the cleverness of the spectacle kind of outweighs the logic of how it was able to be done. Sometimes they can do that and it works, and you're like, all right, fine.
Right.
Sometimes they do that and it doesn't work.
You have to give them a little leeway, you got to give them a little credit.
Right.
But it didn't have enough goodwill points in this movie.
Yeah.
To me go, I'll let that one slide.
Exactly.
I was like, no. So that's my thought.
All right.
Jumping on
that
one.
And we're in agreement.
So my final dishonorable mention of 2025, and this was something that I was worried about, and my worries were validated by somebody else first who didn't watch the movie. And then I'm like, well, I like this guy's opinion because that guy was the person who made the original movie.
Oh, okay.
Which would have been David Zucker.
Okay.
So my dishonorable mention in 2025, almost worst thing I've seen, which is, you know, once again, what's actually the worst thing, The Naked Gun.
You saw that?
I
didn't even do that to myself.
So I had heard.
And I love Liam Neeson. I love him. I love him, but no.
So I heard the movie was going to be made.
And ironically, Liam Neeson, Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah.
I never thought about that. Okay, go ahead. Please continue.
So, you know, I heard about it. I'm like, I don't know about this. Then I heard that it was going to be Seth MacFarlane. I'm like, he's hit or miss. Because some of that Ted stuff was really funny, but then also some of that Ted stuff is not really funny. So And you got Liam Neeson. I'm like, all right, if anybody could do it, it could probably be him. And as you know, I do not like to watch trailers because I'm like, I'm already going to see the movie or not. I don't need a trailer to win me over. And I'll watch a trailer for something that I have no intention of watching. And sometimes I'll watch a trailer like, oh, well, this trailer makes it look interesting. I will go watch this movie.
Okay.
So I saw the trailer. And it had one joke in that trailer. And I was like, that's hilarious.
And
if
you're
the
like,
rest
damn
movie
it.
Is that funny, I'm going to watch this movie. And then Zucker went on a press tour saying how bad the movie is because they didn't use his script for the movie. And they used somebody else's script. And he was promised to be part of it. And then they said, hey, would you sign off on it by being an executive producer? And he said, no. And then he went around going, oh, this is what's wrong with comedy. And I'm like, yeah, I'm with you. So that was the whole thing of this movie. So my little notes here says, Naked Gun, it had slivers of humor.
Slivers.
But it was pretty bad and a waste of a sequel. They really, really, really should have brought back the Zucker Brothers.
That was your note coming right out of it, right?
Yeah.
That was you walking right out like, this is. That is no good.
Yeah, I just and it pained me because, like I said, that one joke, and that was pretty much the entire best joke of the entire movie that was in the trailer. Have you seen the trailer?
I believe I've seen the trailer.
The OJ joke, like
okay.
I was like, that's a lot. I was like, all right, it was just really funny. I didn't think they were going to do it. They did it. And it was such it wasn't even like an obvious joke. It was just a little boop. And I was like, wow, that's a really good joke. And they had the balls to go for it. They went for it. And then there we are.
Oh, all right. Okay. So I can't believe you even went to see that. Like, that's not a Mark move.
Well, love The Naked Gun. I love
which
Airplane.
Is why I would have assumed that you would have just given this one a pause, you know?
It
you would have been like, no.
It had that joke, that one joke. That was it. That won me over to go
see it. It roped you.
That one joke. And it's funny because they actually interviewed the writer-director of the movie, and they asked him about that joke, and he said, I had no idea that that joke was going to be so funny, because then I would have wrote more.
Oh, he wasn't even smart enough just not to talk. You know, like silence is an option. Like, people don't ever realize that silence is an option.
So we have, 10 minutes. What do you got? What is the honorable dismention 2025, the second worst possible thing you've seen this year?
I'm going to have to say, but there's a caveat to it. I'm going to have to say Stranger Things.
Ooh, okay. So I haven't seen the new Stranger Things yet, which I want to say, I am surprised that there isn't much talk about it. So,
well, it came out and it was a blockbuster, but then it got overpowered by the P. Diddy documentary. It just got kicked right out of the top spot by the P. Yeah. I don't have any complaints about the show itself. I think those episodes, the episodes I've seen so far, were great. I'm sick to death of incomplete content, and so that goes into my rant. That was the same problem I had. Even though I gave it an honorable mention, well, I agreed with your honorable mention of Marvel Zombies. Yeah, yes, it was. Well, but you know, I was there for the segment, so I'm tired of incomplete content. I'm tired of you giving me incomplete stuff in part one-ing and part two-ing all this stuff. I granted, you want more engagement than what happens when people binge one day and then they go away. I get it. I totally get it. It doesn't work. You can't manipulate us into engaging about a movie. If we love the movie, if we love the show, whatever, we will talk about the show. You can't manipulate us into engagement by just stretching it out. But fair enough. Do it week to week if you're going to do it.
Right.
This, I'll give you 5 episodes today. I'll give them another 5 episodes a month from now. And after you waited 2.5 years to 3 years for this stupid thing to come out in the first place. And I'm getting so sick of, like, this content, this manipulative content. It's like built-in obsolescence. Like, you'll have technology that is meant to fall apart.
Right.
Or an iPhone that will, or smartphone, excuse me. I'm biased because I have an iPhone. But a smartphone that will continue upgrade, and then reach a ceiling on how far it can upgrade. It's like, oh, now you got to spend $1,000 on a new one. Sorry, you know?
Right, yes.
It's BS. It's complete crap. So that's the same with this. It's just like, well, we need engagement. We're going to dole this out. We're going to give you 4 episodes of something you waited 3 years for, and then we're going to make you wait a month, and then we're going to bring the rest of it out on Christmas Day because no one's doing anything on that day, and then you're going to watch the next 4, and then we're going to take the last episode, and we're going to put it out on New Year's Day or New Year's Eve.
And they actually, I've heard they're going to put it in the theaters, too. So
yeah, great, great, great job, guys. F off, you know, with this. If the content is good, it holds up. When you start pulling gimmicks and tricks like this, you make people worry, in honesty. I've seen more people worry, like, ugh, all these tricks just to give us a few episodes of a show that we've waited a long time for. I'm starting to worry. Is this going to be good or not? Now, Stranger Things is a brand that is so strong that it could withstand this kind of nonsense. But Wednesday didn't do that well with it, because nobody liked it. And I know for a fact I didn't watch any of Wednesday season 2 because they did it like that. And I'm like, I'll wait until it's all out to sit down and watch it. And then I just kind of never did. You know, I still haven't. And I know a few people. I don't know if it's a trend, but I know a bunch of people who did the same thing. They were like, oh, well, I waited. And I'm still waiting. You know, I don't know why. So I don't necessarily dislike the product. I haven't seen it all, so it falls into our category of incomplete, so we can't judge it 100%.
Right.
But I am absolutely sick and tired of the format. I really am. I'm tired of being manipulated, and it does feel manipulative at this point.
So if they stick the landing for Stranger Things, whatever that ending is, we'll be like, oh, this is one of the best TV series I've seen of all time, despite the giant gaps.
It won't be the best I've seen in all time, no matter how well they stick the landing, because it's just not my... I think it's really good. I've enjoyed the 10 years that I've been watching 5 seasons. So, you know, and I mean, I remember when you and I went to see Shin Godzilla.
And they were in the theater.
And they were in the theater, right? They were sitting right in front of us, and everybody was glad handing them and congratulating them and whatever. So that
Except
made me watch the show, huh?
Except for me, because I hadn't watched it at that point.
Me neither. I didn't glad hand. I knew who they were. I'm like, oh, those are the Stranger Kids. You know, Stranger Kids. There was the Stranger Things kids. But I hadn't watched it yet, but that made me watch it. If everybody in this theater was really congratulatory of these kids, and they seemed like good kids. They were in the theater, they were quiet, they just wanted to watch a Godzilla movie.
And run up and down,
we're famous and you're not.
Speaking as a person who worked in the theater, I appreciate them just sitting there and watching a movie.
Yeah, me too. Speaking as a person who's been to a billion theaters, I appreciated that too for different reasons. But so, yeah, I was like, well, maybe there's something to this. And I went to see it. I sat down and I committed to it, and I loved it. I thought it was great. You know, I didn't love that it took 2 years to get season 2 and that it ended on a cliffhanger. I'm like, oh. But I thought it was great. So, you know, I don't have a problem with Stranger Things. I have a problem with their delivery format.
Right. So, to wrap things up, in this situation, the dishonorable mentions, I say stay away from the Naked Gun movie and City of Demons. 100% stay away from that. You, however, would say don't stay away from Stranger Things. And maybe stay away from Thunderbolts.
I say stop trying to manipulate us through the delivery of content, and watch Thunderbolts with caution. You know, with your managed expectations, and don't watch 28 years later.
Okay, there you go. Final thought. So avoid Netflix. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, because I don't want the evil empire coming to get me. But if Netflix is manipulating you, manipulate them back. That's my final thought. By not watching some of their content.
Okay. My thought is this: I actually think that it's a monster of their own making, and they can't figure out how to reverse this trend. So something's got to happen, and I think it's just going to be one of those things where they'll figure it out, because all they care about, the streaming services, is people signing for the streaming services. So if you don't like what they got, if you don't like what they got, go watch something else on something else. Go back to watching TV, because they, at least for this year, they made much better stuff, in my opinion, than not. So maybe they're on the mending trend.
Fair enough.
So with that, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with more. It came from the radio.
If you had any honor, you would listen to sci-fi.radio, the sci-fi for your Wi-Fi. Kapla!
Now, back to our show.
So that about does it for this week on It Came From The Radio. Join us right here any week on this radio station. If you miss any part of this show,
tough,
go to our newly revised website, www.itcamefromradio.com. The archives will be up in a week or so. Check us out on such places as btd.radio, sci-fi.radio, IndieVolt.com, CentralOregonRadio.com. Check us out on our places such as Facebook, Instagram, YouTube page, Twitter.
And always follow the cost-benefit ratio. If the benefits outweigh the costs, do it. If the costs outweigh the benefits, don't do it. Or
just Google It Came From The Radio.
And we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to It Came From The Radio with Mark Torres. The views of the show's hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect that of the management, owners, or staff of the station. We now return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.